West West, y'all.
Here's Ola. Oh, he's away from one, away from another. Look at this!
Aloha and welcome back to another episode of the 135 Footy Show, proudly brought to you as part of the Wes Wes Network. You can go check out all our podcasts, all our articles on weswesnet.com. Let's welcome in the boys, Manu Lover. Stace, how's it been, bro? Couple of weeks, mate?
Yeah, a couple of weeks. I thought I'd wait until the Warriors win, but I don't know how long I'm going to wait. So good to be on this week. Cheers, boys.
Nice to have you back, Wes. And Si, mate, you've been on a... off on a few weeks, mate. Been busy, mate. Busy with work.
My little boys. Hey, yeah, man. Yeah. Two different shifts than that. But I've been tuning in, man. You and Bobby have been having some mean suki-suki crying vibes over the last couple of weeks. But plenty of time for that, about what's wrong. I'll try not to let this drag on into what happened. What happened, Wild fans? But nice, thank you. It's been a good week. How's the week been, boys?
Yeah, good. Work's been crazy busy. I was complaining to the missus today that I had to be into work every day this week. So it's a bit of a mission for me. Whereas she just laughed. That's normal for most people, mate. So, so it's the reality of having to go to work. That's probably hitting me hard. Anyway. Let's get straight into it. Quite a few topics to cover off, but firstly, what I want to get into is the shocking bunker calls this week. I don't know if you guys caught all of them. There was an Isaac Tango one. There was a Caesar hip drop that went uncalled, which was a classic hip drop every day of the week. Again, I touched on it with Bob. You know, what is a hip drop? And it seems to be, you know, no consistency again. It just seems to be based around if there's an injury. So the player, if he goes down and acts like he's really injured, then it'll get looked at and become a thing. Philip Sami's try. He was just as shocked as everyone else when he got that try. Obviously fumbled it. Didn't have a lost control. Similar to Uppies the week before, but goes upstairs and they give it. He was shocked. He looked embarrassed as well.
Did you see his reaction?
Yeah. He's just like, oh.
That was a fun party.
So there's the thing. When the player's doing that, it's like, mate, everyone's watching the bunker. They've just seen that on the big screen, and now they're watching him just as shocked as everyone to see that as a try.
Sorry, what about
and then the most disgusting call? Game deciding, mate. There's a game changing kind of call as well. Yeah. That was a disgusting call to be, you know, called as a penalty, you know, tackled in the air. Obviously, a penalty over the try line, placing the ball. No sin bin. Because it's,
At the very least, I thought that was a penalty try.
Yeah, and it shouldn't. Should either be one or the other. It should be a penalty try,
and then what's that?
Or a sin.
It was a wide. It was a wide kick. So we give you 4 points. You still lose the game, bro. Wasn't it 16-12? And if he gets that conversion, it's still 16-14. So don't come out here and narrow it down to one incident in the match.
So yeah,
it was game before.
I'm just saying these are all examples of one weekend of bunker calls. You know, the bunker's there for a reason, and it's been a weekend of shockers. I don't know your thoughts on the bunker. Like, how can they keep getting it so wrong? What's going on there? I'll come to you, Stace. It's widely used in Union. You even call forward passes, but I don't know your thoughts on all of these mistakes.
Yeah, it's a tough one, eh? I don't have a good answer for you, eh? I normally quite like the use of the bunker, and that compared to Union, it's quite minimal, so they allow the game to flow a bit more. But you still want to see, you know, if you've got that level of technology, you want to be using it to get more calls correct than you are getting. So that was probably the disappointing thing. And, yeah, well, it seems to be a bit of a lottery. I know that in soccer, they use the technology and the bunker and all that sort of stuff. But the on-field ref will look at the footage and he will decide. So I wonder if that might be something that we can look at where, you can use the technology and look at the replays, but the ref's looking at the replays and he's saying, yeah, this I see this and I see that. Because I think that, I don't know this for a fact, but I think that the bunker, they're not like proper hardcore refs. The best refs that they've got are the refs that are on the field at the time. So I wonder if we should just say, hey, look, you can watch the footage and then make your decision if you need to, similar to what they do in soccer. Because whoever's in that bunker, I don't know what he's doing. He must be doing the Dally M judging as well, because it's all over the shop.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be, you know, the ref on the field shouldn't be a surprise. And that's what the bunker does look like, especially when it comes to a try situation, is or most of the calls, once it goes bunker, there is no deliberation. There is no, well, I thought it looked like this. Especially with the on-field ref, like again, like, it just seems to be a, this is what I thought, but I'll give it to you. And then the bunker makes the final. So, yeah, it is kind of, yeah, giving that power over. I don't know, Si, your thoughts on how the bunker's been going so far?
Bro, that's a brilliant, that's a brilliant point now Stace just made. Like, it's what's happening, it's just clangers, bro, because people look at things differently. What do they call it? You know, you look at one rule, but it's, everyone has the interpretations. Interpretations of the rule. And we're all human, bro. We'll fucking look at something different ways, different. And I agree with Stace in the fact that if you look at most sports, in rugby union is a good case, the responsibility is still with the on-field ref. So they're wasting all this fucking money having all these referees in the same room in the bunker. We only need one person, one IT person to go stop, play, rewind, forward, go slow motion. And just give that information like they do on NBA, like go to the court. I mean, you might have someone already with the fucking iPad, ready, get out there, get it out there, it's a badger. And she'll take it upstairs and just look at the footage, like, play me this, and then make the fucking decision. Because right now it's like, everyone's having fuck ups that, oh, wow, it's not, it was the bunker, it's not my fault, and no one takes fucking responsibility. But that's the game of rugby, right? Everyone's got different interpretations, so it's going to be, but, and saying that, bro, it's just, those are some shockers, bro. Like, it's the plant. Well, WDWZ was one thing, but what about the Sammy's try compared to
the week before? Uppies.
Yeah, the 50 for
Uppies Corso.
Uppies was way more, and I think they should bring that in, because if you land on it with your hip, it's not like you have control, but you've got downward pressure. It's almost two different things now. Because Uppies was like, they said he lost control, but it looked like his hands was on the ball the whole time, eh? And by the time it hit the ground, he'd had control of it. He'd had downward pressure. But they interpret that as like, nah, well, the ground stopped it from knocking on, so you didn't really have control. Whereas Sammy's one, that was a fucking, at no time did I think, there was definitely separation there.
Well, that's the thing. Like, these guys are looking from the field 30 meters up into the sky at a big screen. And so he's watching it live like everyone else. He sees it fumble and he looks at his teammates like, oh, unfortunate. Like, yeah. And then when he sees the thing swivel and go try, he cracks up like, oh, I saw exactly whatever. So they're that far. These guys are in a bunker watching this thing 10 centimeters from their face. So how can he see it down on the ground yet they miss that?
Yeah, the thing that happened to Uppy is Uppy put down the ball the same way every other player puts down the ball when they score a try after following up a grubber, right? So then, you know, when you don't catch it and then place it down onto the ground, you just force downward pressure onto a ball, right? You're not really got catching it and then planning it down. You're just pushing it down on the ball. You can do it with one hand. You can't tell me that's downward pressure, but it's not. Is he in control of the ball, you know? But then I don't know what their reasoning is for. We should start watching. You guys watch the Graham Annesley thing every Monday or Tuesday morning. They dissect. It would have been good this week.
Oh, like all.
What do you think of Badger, bro?
Yes.
What do you boys think of that game? Because apparently that game,
it was a shocker.
It was like 6 or 7. What do you call it? When the teams have a. Get to check it out. Yep. It was about 6 or 7 of them. But yeah, man, she definitely should have been suspended, eh?
I think so.
Like every other time a ref has a shocker like that, they review it and they make a call, and those refs are usually stood down. Like that's just that's kind of performance. You go down back down to a lower level, and like players, like you kind of get dropped and you come back up.
Yeah, and it's interesting when they talk about Badger, but she went to the bunker a few times, got some 50-50 calls like that, you know, with the Caesar one and all the rest of it. So she's not getting helped from the bunker as well, and then the touch judges and all the rest of it. So that makes the players get more frustrated. Yeah. And then she's copying it in the neck from the players. So and it's just not to cut back on that DWZ one, but I remember Sean Johnson went up to the ref and saying, hey, look, what's going on here? That should be a penalty try, or that should be a sin bin for professional foul. And the referee's like, you could see the body language of the referee where he's sort of like, I hear you, and I sort of partially agree with you, but, you know, the calls come from the bunker, so we've got to go with it. And that's where, like, I felt sorry for Badger because, you know, I thought the bunker came up with some ordinary calls, frustrating the players, and then the players can't run upstairs to the bunker and say, you're getting it wrong. So Badger's normally the one who's copying it in the neck. And saying all of that, she was poor. So, you know, if she was a man, she'd be dropped and no one would bat an eyelid. But because she's a woman, there's this whole other bits at play.
The NRL was pussyfooting around that, eh?
Well, they've caused the problem. Like, if no one would have blinked an eye if they dropped her. They wouldn't have thought, oh, it's because the guys were bullying her, whatever. Like, I haven't even seen what's come out on social. Like, that's not acceptable for any ref. Like, doesn't matter what gender. But for the NRL to keep her in there, yeah, they've made it a gender thing now. Because it's like, well, it's on performance. Every other ref has always been performance. She had a poor performance. Because it just adds weight to her now. Now she's had a poor performance. She's had all of the stress off field, kind of with the drama on socials, and expected to back up and expect, you know, so she has two bad ones in a row. Now what will come? Now is it a woman thing?
Just on that, mate, the troll, if you're a social media troll having a go at poor Casey Badger, mate, come on. Sort your life out, mate.
Yes, exactly.
Shit.
Over the Tigers game, the second row, the British second row, he used to play for Raiders. He was kind of up there saying, but he'll talk like that if it was regardless of the
Bateman,
man.
He's just energetic.
But asking the questions, oh, why, you know, and constantly going on about it. Well, she needs to tell him to fuck off, like, and not in those terms, but have control of the game, eh? If people, because they're like, oh, how can he's trying to get one over her because she's a female. He wouldn't talk like that, but players will do whatever they need to.
And it's no excuse. Like, she's riffed enough games now. Like, she's been around these players, so it's not a respect thing. It's not like any other players' games. So it reflects. It's more the environment, the bad calls in the game have added to it.
And I'm always asking the question. As long as you're not abusive, obviously, if I was riffing, I wouldn't want every single fucking player to come up and start whinging about a call. But if you're not abusive and you're respectful and you speak to a referee, as a captain, you have the right to question decisions. But if you find as a ref that you don't like their tone, and you need to warn them, man. Don't speak to me. I'll send you off, man. 10 minutes. You know, control the game. We'll penalize. Backchat.
You think of someone like like Cameron Smith, who's arguably one of the greatest captains who's ever lived. And throughout his whole career, he's been accused of, you know, manipulating the refs and all the rest of it. But what he did, he just went up and he talked to them.
Got away with murder.
He wasn't abusive. Yeah. Didn't speak in an angry tone. He talked to them normally.
And always came across so intelligent that it almost put them at, like, well, okay.
So they would at least hear him out. Whereas if you're coming and shouting, it doesn't matter if you've got a good point, they're just sending you away. So, you know, if you're a captain, you want to be heard. So be like Cameron Smith and manipulate the refs like you did in those Origins.
Any youngsters out there that are in the leadership, role at the moment in their teams, watch Cameron Smith's games and his rapport with referees. Because, like I said, you're not disrespectful, and you have the right to question.
Yeah.
But he was, you know, he was like Fitzy, eh?
That's what goes with exactly. A good captain is knowing your game. And even Richie, because you know the rules so well that you can question it, you know, calmly as well. You're not going in there just emotionally. You've kind of got knowledge and facts behind what you're trying to question and actually ask. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's going to be hard for Casey. Like, I just think it's the message they've sent. Because now that it's like, well, like every referee, like we said, it's not a gender thing, but you have a bad performance, they stand you down. Now she's being encouraged to go again. So what does this week's game look like? If the message is you haven't done anything wrong, those players were out of line, and those people online are just, you know, egging you on. So now she goes and refs the same type of game and might get some shockers again. So,
well, you hope at least that Grandma,
either you got it right or you got it wrong. And the message she's been told is she's done nothing wrong. You get to carry on and play and ref this week.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how many games she's had, but I'm pretty sure you can count on one hand. Like I said, I agree. She's been she should be stepped down, you know, just for that performance on the weekend. But it's not like it's a trend in rugby league world, or you know, there's a few claims. Not only her game, but like we were just talking about, the different ways they see the plant down and the hip drop. That's fucked too, man. And that's also a human thing, because it's like people who are on the review committee or whatever that
match review committee
organization is, what they charge in that. It's like really, this guy only got a simbin, but now I've got 3-4 weeks doing the same thing.
Yeah,
like you're saying, Tans, I think, because I mean later on they find out that player's injured or whatever, and that's the severity of your penalties depending on that injury for a tackle. Because like you're saying, Tango did the same thing as
Yeah.
Tango didn't. He's back playing, eh? Was he?
No, he's back, yeah.
And he just, the sufficient was, yeah. And what's his name? Adam Caesar got.
Yeah, he just got lucky because that guy didn't, you know, get injured. But and that's what I don't like about it. Like the action should be judged on the action, not just by impact. Because then they're just continuing to practice this. Like if it's obviously not getting trained out of them and they're not getting called for doing it, then they don't know. Like the body just does what the body knows. It's just muscle memory.
But to get out of the game, like they've done other things, like the shoulder charge and the punch. No, that's why there's no fighting.
But it's punishing when they're doing it, and these guys aren't learning. Because
you got to penalize every fucking hip drop.
And I think that's what I'm saying.
You have to simply every hip drop. Every hip drop, regardless of his
impact. Yeah, it has to be the action. If it's a classic looking hip drop, get it out of the game.
Well, you got to firstly define what a hip drop is, because I've heard people say that wasn't a hip drop, that was a hip drop, you know, like this Caesar one, he's getting off because that isn't considered a hip drop per se. So, you know, that's where it gets a bit murky. They haven't fully defined
a
hip drop. So first thing, they've got to define that, then you can start to get out of the game, and the players will know what is okay and what isn't. So at the moment, it's sort of a bit up in the air. Some are getting going, some aren't.
I know there's a lot of instances and tackles in that where you can't control. Like if you're a small guy and you haven't quite wrapped, well, you don't want to stand in front of a big fella, but you kind of just try and go around them, or you get flinged over the top of their back. Sometimes your feet's in the air, and then when you kind of land back down on the ground, it's that motion like you're pulling them down, but you haven't really added the weight on. Like for me, the classic one is, it doesn't have to be stationary, but you see them leave their feet on purpose and then pull the player down to the ground. Whereas there's a lot of accidental ones.
That
well,
seems to be Patrick Carrigan's tackling style, right? Wrapping around when he swings his legs around. Yeah. Patrick Carrigan is classic hip drop every day of the week, if that's what you're explaining it, mate. Just explained the way that guy tackles, man. Every single tackle is pretty much a hip drop then.
There's a difference between driving your kau'au and they end up on the back. Then, you know, when you leave your feet and you land on... and what do you guys think? Does it have to land on their legs at the back? Or Can they just drag you to the ground? Because I've seen players get weeks, they didn't even land on the feet and they didn't even get injured, but they kind of landed on the ground next to the player and they caught that a hip drop.
Well, so, yeah, and that's, I guess, that's the definition that we need.
Land on the back of their leg.
Because right now it is interpretation still. There's no, like, everyone thought it was the holding on the hip, swinging around and leaving your feet. But like you're saying, guys now leave their feet but land to the side. So they've still done that dragging down action but just avoided their legs. So it's like,
exactly.
Is that a safe hip drop now? So is there like a safe version and a non-safe version? And the non-safe is just because you get it wrong? Because maybe it is a training thing. Maybe you can actually tackle like that. Like everything, like these guys are so nuanced, maybe that's a thing they can actually train to do, is drop to the ground next to the legs without hitting the legs. I don't know. Because right now, yeah, it just feels like hit and miss. If you get the legs, you get...
There's a lot of instances called. Where... there's a lot of instances where players get bumped off, like fucking bumped off, then you kind of... You're still holding on or you're doing your best to rep, but you just end up...
Desperate.
Coming off your feet and then... Yeah, and you don't want to fucking, you could be close to the line. You don't want to give up quick play of the ball as well, so you're doing your best to. So it's another grey area where Eagles, but we say it's fucking Simbin every, but that's kind of open up another can of big beans. It's like there's a lot of these tackles that not the player in their minds not thinking.
It's just one of those. To
dunk him down, because those are the worst ones.
I think it's just because of the difference in it being one and not. Is such a severe injury. Like, I think that's probably the biggest issue is just the being on that, you know, that whatever they call it, syndromosis or something. It always seems to be quite a lengthy recovery when it's on those back parts of the ankles, and that's probably why it's such a hard one to call. All right. Nice, boys. Let's move on to murmurs on David Fifita. So the Panthers came out with an offer. Well, that's the thing. Like, I didn't even know how these guys talk about these things. But they seem to get all this information. So it just seems to be leaks everywhere in the NRL. But yeah, so the Panthers offered Fifita, I think it was reportedly $650, I think.
I think $650
a season. Or $850. Wow. $850 a season over 4 years. And now the... Roosters have come out and they've got a war chest, and so they've come out with 3.4 over 4 years. So they work out pretty much around about the same value, both contracts. Yeah, your thoughts, we'll go to you first, Si. You keen to see him move on from the Titans after just signing and us celebrating him last year, talking him up? You know, congrats to the Usos if they can get these kind of deals.
I want to say, like, I always keep a keen eye on the Titans because they're this where I live, and it's such a big fucking area for talent out here. So for their sake, I hope to fucking they hang on to him. But if I was him and I was his family and that was my son, fuck, go to the Panthers, man! Like, I know you've gotten some good coin for his age to be on that $1 million contract for the last two, three years and not even play his best football. Oh, you watch his origin game will step up, because physically, bro, he's one of the biggest specimens in the game. One of the strongest. He's coming into his prime, 24. So even at 850, he's winning. 3 year contract, I think. Getting on the outside. They've got Martin on the right. But his game will elevate. If it doesn't, then he's got a big problem because he's just surrounded by stars there. And I think that's a smart buy from the Panthers. Because if anything, like I said, he hasn't even touched his, I don't know, like 65% of his true powers, bro. Honestly, man. Like, for a second rower, the tense of age, you know, late 20s, 30s, coming into their own. He's only 24, bro. And he's got a handful of games under his belt. If he goes to Panthers, it's game over. They got another 2-3 in them. We'll soon see with the loss of Fisher-Harris how that affects them, because in my opinion, that's huge. That's huge. Goes to a little way to solving that problem, but he's not a middle. He's not the same mana that Fisher Harris can bring. If he's got him, then he can be. But like I said, if it's true, he's going there, man. Look out. Look out. It's really dumb of the Titans to have that kind of contract, man. To give the agent and the player that much power. Because wasn't he on like 4 or 5 years or something?
Yeah, something like that.
So he's actually going early. Has the option of they don't make the A or some shit like that. I don't know. Yeah, what do you reckon, Stace? Is he worth that?
Well, he's already on $1 million, so he's worth $850.
Goodbye.
I suppose my issue was similar to what you mentioned. He's really started to find his feet on the left edge outside Kieran Foran. So if he goes to the Panthers, Lua is not going to be there.
Mm.
So who's going to be the ball player on the left if he plays left back row? Because he needs someone to put him through the holes. He's looked good outside Foran. He looked good initially. But when he was playing with Boyd and whoever else they had there before, that's when he was playing Gaia. He didn't know. They couldn't hook him up into space and went running it deep into the lines. It's Foran who's helped him to be good. And I don't know who's playing left. Who's going to be the left edge ball player once Luai's gone. So I'd be a bit 50-50 about the Panthers until you know who that is. And another thing, they've won, they've made 4 grand finals already. They've won 3 titles. They could win more. So you think, you know, he goes there, it's sort of like when, not as bad, but when Kevin Durant went to the Golden State Warriors. It's sort of like they didn't win big. They were already good. And he sort of just came in for a bit of glory.
Yeah.
At least at the Roosters, if he can help to propel them there, he can say he was a difference as opposed to being, I just joined the best team and got me a thing and not because I was awesome. So
yeah.
I actually like the Roosters. I actually think, I'm not sure if Sam Walker plays on the left or not, but if he can link up with Sam Walker or whoever they get, I think there might be a better fit for him actually. So I hope he goes to the Roosters.
They are talking about that. I won't drop their potty, but and even a couple of Pukalamis on TV, Fox, and that who would have been better suit for him personally. And a lot of them saying Penrith, bro, because look at the Roosters, they're going to be depleted, bro. They're losing Hargroves, they're losing Kiri's retiring, Angus Crichton, who's like, I'm surprised they haven't re-signed him. How good's he going? They could lose him, Joe Manu. I'm so, Russ, you don't want to go to Roosters and then go, oh, where's everyone gone? And he's back to, like, being the main.
The Roosters always get someone. They can, they will flash their money around and people go to them. They lose it
tomorrow.
I reckon they'll get, they haven't announced anyone, but the Joe Manu money, sort of money,
personally
they'll get some big signings, big fish, I'm pretty sure.
So do you see the Panthers' culture changing by doing this, though? This whole, you know, we grow
what
our
do you mean
own,
by that? Like,
and all of a sudden this
comes. Yeah, point, bro, because I was going to ask packet,
you know, a lot of these guys have taken unders for years to win, and now this guy comes on a big packet and goes, I'm taking unders too. Like, come on, nigga. Ain't nobody taking unders like that, man.
Maybe it's a lot to do with the loss of Fisher Harris. Is that like up front? And I like the move of moving Sorensen in the middle because he doesn't get enough opportunities. Remember when he was playing off the bench, him and Lingyu, and he was carving it up in the middle when he came on.
Yeah, that's right.
On the bench, it's almost like because those second rowers at the Panthers have got their system. They just kind of like only get the ball on. When only if Cleary's gonna, you know, give you a late card or something like that, he doesn't really get early ball and a chance like Kikau does, you know, early ball, see what he can do. He's Panthers are more that, I don't know if you want to say structured, but offensively, he's gonna be you have Cleary running off him, in that system, bro. His game's gonna go to another level, man. I think, Panthers next year, not looking too bad, man. And what are you in there, number 6? Do you think they should chase after Shu? Schuster. He's made his million Panthers this year, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
He's
well, would he? Would that? I don't know. Would you like to see that Schuster with Fifita outside? Was that going to get the best out of Fifita? I'm not convinced, D.
I think he can still be coached, though. Like, under a good coach, like, under a good system, I think Schuster could thrive there.
Yeah, but would Fifita be good outside Schuster? I'm not convinced. You say it's going to be the best out of him going to the Panthers. I'm not convinced
I think it gives that option. Schuster's such a good player, like a ball player, and just silky. I think he can. Like, you know, most of the time he's not going to run it. So he's probably going to feed more than he runs.
I would swap, put Martin on that side, right? Pair him up with Schuster. And because I don't think it's a huge thing. I mean, I'm not speaking for many.
Chuck Fifita on the right.
Two games at second row.
You play Fifita on the right side.
Is it a big difference? Right? Yeah, that's what I mean. If you're going to partner him up with Cleary, and then have him on that side, and then have someone like Martin who's been there, done that, running outside Schuster. I think what was the time that caught in one of our chats? Calling for
Fifita.
Would he be a good fit at the Panthers? Ooh. So who knows?
Getting some inside information.
But they have that number.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but
they have that number six spot free for next year. So it'll be interesting to see what all happens on the left side. It's pretty depleted.
Just on that, actually, do like you mentioned, Si, that you hope he stays with the Titans. I actually hope he leaves, because if you remember, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, there was some chat that Jerome Hughes, his partner, is from the Gold Coast, and he was played a lot of his junior footy there. He was interested in a move back that way towards Queensland. So if they can get rid of Fifita, they could potentially use that money to get Hughes.
Free up some cap too.
And you think they've got Beaufremore, Cleese Haas, obviously not in the same league as Fifita, but I think that the upgrade from Tanner Boyd to Jerome Hughes is a way bigger upgrade than, say, Fifita to Beaufremore as a downgrade. So I think the team overall would be better with Hughes, Fremore, and Haas.
They got
some good young talent,
bro.
Because that's always been the thing for Titans.
They definitely get a Haas.
Well, Hughes has hinted that he was interested in potentially. Well, this is all media speculation, of course. And his wife is from there, and she wanted to make a move. This is all in the paper. This is about 2-3 weeks back. So obviously Melbourne are going to do everything they can to lock him up. But if that's a possibility and they can make an offer for him, I would rather the Titans would be better.
Puts them in the race, hey? Yeah. Puts them in the race for, but who's coming off contract, man? Or what do contracts mean these days, eh?
Yeah, that's the thing. It seems like it. Just
if I was the Titans, I'd be chasing.
Yeah, letting him work out, like, not to panic. Cause, yeah, that makes sense. Freeing up.
Yeah.
He's been great. Like, I think like you're saying, he's finally starting to click. But yeah, interesting clauses though. So apparently, 5 p.m. tomorrow, 5 p.m. Thursday is when this clause expires. So he needs to commit to the Titans before that time. Otherwise, he's free agent. So
it's
interesting how many people know about this clause.
It would have been good to get. Well, I know Tama when he can. He's probably, you know, very busy at the moment with what he's been going through. But if he could talk us through the Panthers and all the rest of it, because like I think you mentioned, Si, they've always trusted their development. They've always had someone else coming through. This is really the first time that they've sort of bypassed their development guys and gone for a big fish. So I wonder if they don't see any sort of bustling edge back rowers coming through that they can use, so they have to go out and to the market this time. Because I did hear that if they don't land Fifita, that they've made inquiries about Angus Crichton. So if the Roosters get Fifita, they might make a play for Crichton, which tells me maybe the edge back row stocks in the development system isn't quite there. So Tama would be the expert on that.
There it is. That's the call. It's one or the other. So
it's amazing recruitment, though. You look at all these other clubs like struggling to find players, whereas like just that being smart enough to know how to grow your own and then when it's the right time to go fishing. It's an impressive system. Speaking of big fish, I don't know if it's a done deal, but man, it sounds like all signs are pointing to Wayne Bennett making the move to the South Sydney Rabbitohs next year. I don't even know if it's next year or it's next few weeks. Who knows how these things work. Your thoughts on Bennett back at the Rabbits, Stace? If it happens this year, you reckon he can save the season?
Nah, where are the Dolphins? Dolphins are, I think, about top four, maybe? So I would, I think he's going to try and see it out for this year, at least with the Dolphins, and see if they get them to their first playoffs and take them from there. That'll be something else to add to his resume as well. But I actually quite like, we talked a bit off here, but I like the move from the Rabbitohs. You know, with their bottom of the table, they've got like five or six Origin guys in their roster. And I know like a couple of you guys and some other pundits on TV and all the rest of it, preseason picked the Rabbitohs to finish in the top eight, essentially on the strength of their roster. So they don't have the worst roster that they should be coming last. And better coaching will pull that out of them. And Bennett's he's in that GOAT conversation for coaching. So I think it's a good move from the Rabbitohs. I actually hope he ends up at the Eels. So I don't know if that's on the card still, but I know that there's some rumblings about Brad Arthur. I hope he goes to the Eels, but I think that the Rabbits is probably the place he'll end up, just because they're the only team that needs a coach at this point.
Oh, Bennett, mate, at his games again.
I don't know why, like, if I was Wayne Bennett, like, who gives a fuck about the Bunnies? Like, he's riding fourth place, man, with the Dolphins. Why would you want to leave? So it must be in some kind of written down contract that Way for you to coach of Connor,
Christian Wolf.
That he's gonna, Christian Wolf's gonna take over from Bennett, and then so Bennett's contracted to the end of this year, and so it just sounds like it's gonna happen. He's going to Souths, but I'm like, why would you want him, man? And like, I know he's one of the best ever to do it in this game, bro. But they're still manpower short, man. They don't have the right mix. They got like game match winners, but you need, like, it's like fucking basketball. It's like Lakers, bro. You got that 1-2 punch, but you need the role players, bro. You need guys to pull up their sleeves and fucking, they need a stronger pack because they can't defend errors. And you got to make errors, bro. Like, what's his name? Like, Walker likes to run the ball. Likes to move the ball. Latrell, they move it really well, but just like any team, you should be able to, if it doesn't pay off, it's not your night. Can you defend? Can you repel teams? And they just don't, bro. They don't have that type of players in the pack. I think it's an aging pack. So whether he comes or not, it's more so that there's enough on that team not to be last, that's for sure. But for them to do anything next year and be competitive with the top four, five, six teams now, there's got to be some major changes, some new blood, man. Get Burgess in there or something. Who knows?
Yeah, I just wonder. So you don't see him, kind of with the squad that he's got, much as you saw him there as a top eight team. If he takes over next year, you don't think he's...
No. If they can, because you look at Dolphins and they don't have outside of Hammer, and they got a international number nine in Jeremy, but they've got like guys like Kafusi and the Twins. They got like journeymen who are like got experience, but they'll tough you out, and they haven't won from like talent. They've won like being you know, doing those 1%ers, man. Get your defense in order, your kick chase in order, all the effort areas. He's always that kind of a team. But is that enough for the Bunnies on attack? They're missing a seven. Everyone needs an organizer, man. And just look at them. Walker's not your classic. He's a running 5'8", one of the best in our game. But if he has an off game, who's going to, you know, who's the captain of the team running them around? You always have that seven, classic halfback. But yeah, but I don't know. What do you reckon, Stace? Bennett going to do anything different with this team? Put him in the eight at least?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they need, because they've basically been losing the forward battle. They keep changing the halfback, but they've been getting smashed up front. So it doesn't matter what the halfback does if you're not winning the forwards. So they definitely need, I think that Burgess that's left there, that George Burgess who's still there, he's leaving next year as well. So that even weakens the middle even further. Hopefully that frees up some salary cap space for them to get someone else, because I agree with you. They need a couple more middles there. They signed Sean Kepi. I don't know, mate, from Manly. I don't know what's been happening with him. He's barely played. But
Yeah, probably just hasn't got the time there with Ola Kawatu and but he was the goods a few years ago.
Yeah.
But you know, in his best day, he's one of the better ones going around. So, yeah, hopefully he makes an impact on that team. You just look at the form of Cook, who he's no longer on everyone's fucking lips about number nine contention. I was talking about him, but it's just that you look at the nine, you look at the world. We'll go into in depth. We'll talk about the Warriors, but things been quiet at hooker because doesn't get that quick play of the ball. Don't necessarily have meters, but if you have a quick play of the ball and get that nine running, it goes a long way to giving your halfback space. And that's where they've struggled, man, is up front, man.
Yeah, so I know Cook's been copying it in the nick, and rightly so, because his form hasn't been good. He's nowhere near origin contention. But like you say, he needs those quick play the balls. He's got that speed and that dummy half running. But that only works if you win the play the ball, get the team, the opposition running back. And that hasn't happened for
him. He's not on my name.
If he tries to run now, he's just getting smashed from the markers because the whole defensive line set by the time.
Who's your two nines for Origin stays?
Well, I think Uppy. Uppy's got it now.
Who's your hooker for Origin?
I like Uppy. Oh, no, actually, I like Robson.
You have Uppy playing 480?
Nah,
yeah, or
nah.
Robson on the bench or starting?
Robson on the bench or McInnes on the bench.
Carrying two hookers.
Yeah, well, McInnes and Robson are both can play middle if needed, so they've got a bit of versatility there. So I would be looking at one of those two on the bench. Maybe, yeah, probably Uppy.
But then you only got two props.
Only need two, mate.
We'll get to some Origin talk shortly, mate. Can't calm down, mate. Calm down. You're getting excited.
This week we're not doing forwards. We're doing backs.
Nice, boys.
That's what I mean. It doesn't matter about the hooker. The props. The front, the engine.
All right. Before we get into the wrap of the round, we'll head to some local news. The Otara Scorpions under 16 taking on the Manurewa Marlins. Stace, incident at this game. You were just letting us know before we jumped on, man. What happened at this game?
Yeah, so Otara Scorpions, Manurewa Marlins under 16s. There was a game there. I think it started to get a bit one-sided. I think the Scorpions had them sort of 40-0, so they was pummeling them. And I don't know the whole story, but I heard that just through the comments that people that were there, that, you know, the parents were saying to the Marurewa kids, hey, look, just start a fight or whatever. And then, you know, the crowd started getting a bit ruckus, so that sort of spilled over onto the field, and one of the parents jumped on tried to hook one of the kids that was playing, so pretty,
the jump on the field.
Pretty disgraceful behavior, whoever that was, mate. Give your own self a hook. So, yeah, you think that he's jumping on and punching a 15-year-old or a 14-year-old kid in the back, and it was a cheap shot from behind. So.
Yeah, just looking at it, he looks shocked too. Like, I guess he's, yeah, probably from another kid, but then he realizes it's one of the parents.
Like, yeah, it's pretty disgraceful behavior. And, you know, just the social media, the way it is now, you hear a lot of stereotypes about, you know, two South Auckland teams, about stereotypes about South Auckland. And, you know, rugby league's always been sort of the working man's game, and how that, you know, that doesn't happen in elitist rugby and all the rest of it. So a lot of people who have, you know, negative stereotypes towards South Auckland and rugby league in general really come out from under their rocks to add their 5 cents. So, but still, disgusting behaviour. I'm not sure if you guys watched the footage, but you guys got any thoughts on that?
So, mate, you deal a lot with your local club, mate. You've seen some behaviour like this? Yeah, this is adult. It's like a...
not regularly. I have in the past. But, oh, well, back home. But I... this is sad, bro, and like it's always a funny story to tell when stuff like this happens, but it did happen, you know. Me growing up, it did a bit too, man. It goes without saying, you know, where this is our peeps, man. This is in this areas, league alone, you know, it's just dominated by Pacific Islanders. So this is our peeps, our young, this is our kids, bro, our under-16s, bro. It's poor behavior. And it's the adults on the sideline that's just, and it's almost a good question as well. At what point as a parent, you're watching a game, you're watching a sport, do you intervene? And me, myself, speaking from both a kid who plays sport, my son, he's turning 10. So I've seen it as part of an administrator with a union club here, Kuma Crushers. But I also love and feel a real, as any dad, pride when I watch my son with whatever sport he does. But I think, my opinion, and I think it's the rules anyway, and no reason at all whatsoever should any spectators, parents, come onto the field, come onto the court, come onto any sporting arena that's controlled and a referee. Obviously, if a ref has lost, if it becomes unsafe and fighting on the field gets too much, then obviously, you know, you want to go in there and keep your kids safe. But what we read, I just read as we were talking, man, this is, I just read in the Herald, this is under 16s, and this is calls from, I'm going to say, presume it was a parent running on the field and assaulting. And it's good the two clubs have come out and made a public statement, not condoning this kind of behavior. So it's, this is not to paint a poor picture of these clubs, man. The clubs itself save these kids from doing mevaliers with their mates and getting them into a sport that teaches health and fitness and teaches discipline. So it's no way a reflection on the clubs, but it's a reflection for our people to, for your parent, bro, you want kids to be safe on the field, man. You know, and you trust that the referee can keep them safe. We should know, in certain terms, just make it acceptable to come onto a field. And that's what causes the fucking, but according to the story, bro, there's like fights going on in the car park. Oh. It's like, come on, man, it's under 16s level. Not the World Cup. So let's be better, peeps. Mr. Kakaunga, some more, man. Like, don't give your son, your daughter that negative speech in the car. Just, you know, just take the time to just drive home and just absorb it. Because we're all hyped up, but it's like, you got to remember, we don't look, judge their performance. We judge their effort and encourage, man. And it's because I've been there. I've said some shit things to my son. I've been the serious dad, the World Cup rugby dad, but like I've had to turn it down, bro, and check myself. But I ain't out there fucking causing fights on the field, that's for sure. But I don't know, it's all in us to be proud parents, but just our behavior, man. The kids watch us how we, and the old swearing at the ref as well, that's not on as well, man. But yeah, I don't know, Tons, you're known for that. You're a bad behavior as a spectator.
Genius. Nah, yeah.
Rogers had to learn the hard way.
Totally agree. Like, it's no place for it in our in the sport, especially for the kids. So it looks like they got, you know, their proper processes, judicial. They'll involve police if required. So hopefully, like you're saying, man.
Well, they're suing. They're looking for them because it's. They're so Apunaka here, man. Hand yourself in. Come on.
This is you.
Do the right thing.
Hand yourself in, mate. For your book of the week, that guy, we can leave it to the empty out the clip, boys. Nice. Good topics, boys. All right, let's get into the round that was the Panthers. The Rabbits looked okay. A couple of 20-minute stints here. They looked here or there, but... the Panthers went on with it. I thought they'd go a lot harder earlier. They kind of finished it off in the end. Anything stand out for you boys in this game other than the Tongo?
Nah. It was like, you know, I'm wrestling. Yeah. It's like when you let someone just...
Oh, you got me, man.
When you want to finish it, that...
Yeah.
Because they come out like 12-0. And I was like, yeah. whoa. This is one of those games where, you know, when a team that loses their coach, they always have like
a there was a stat on that as well. A
couple of good performances before it goes back to normal because you're emotionally attached. But no, bro, second half, take off of Sally Casali, and I just turned off the TV, went to sleep. But yeah, didn't watch too much of that, bro. Painter's just doing the thing, eh?
You say 12-0 they had that start. Then Panthers had 42 straight unanswered points after that. So I don't know if the Panthers took it easy at the start there. But yeah, I just, one thing I saw, just the Rabbits, like we're trying to figure out why they're at the bottom with their roster. But this game sort of showed it. They lack that effort and they're not prepared to dig deep and do those one percenters. So there was this one try that I think it was Taylor May.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Got Dylan Edwards gets the kick from his own goal. They take the 20-meter tap. Yeah. And they're just dawdling to get back onside. You know, Jai Arrow, I'll give him credit.
Like a last play and Walker tried something different, just a midfield like rubber kick in. And the middle chase was just sad, like just not even getting behind the kick. Just we'll go through the motions. And then right at the end, try and speed up, like, oh, might be able to chip them.
No one rushing back to get onside. Those are those 1%ers that you gotta do because that's what's killing them. Because their roster's good enough to be, you know, not bottom. But yeah, I felt for Jai Arrow because he was the run I saw who sprinted back to at least get back onside. Now, he got done easy with a bit of footwork, but he at least chased Taylor May all the way. So it feels like, you know, that's an Origin player who's got that Origin level of effort, you know, effort on top of effort. But the rest of the team just dawdling back onside. No, don't bother to chase. And it's like, shit, man, that's why you're at the bottom.
Exactly. All right, let's move on from that. The Raiders coming up over the top of Manly Sea Eagles. I thought this one was... me and Bob actually got this wrong. We actually went... we both went Manly on this, kind of after the week before as well. We kind of thought they'd kind of solidified themselves, looking more like a team, but just a real Ricky Stewart win from the Raiders, I think. Anything you guys want to call out on this game?
Yeah, I thought it was just sort of, you know, I don't know, those cliches, but that game of two halves, because the Seagulls ran away 20-0 at the start. And you think, oh shit, they're going to pile it on here. But the Raiders, like you mentioned, they've got that grit about them. So they, Elliot Whitehead was one of their best players who had an absolute blinder. And they were able to sort of steal it and get themselves back into the game. But yeah, questions over the Seagulls, because I also thought they would have won. And if you're leading 20-0, you should hold on from there. So how they blew a 20-point lead, shit, man, they'll be scratching their heads with that one.
That Kaio Weeks looked awesome. He was ex-Manly, so I don't know if he kind of targeted this game as well, but yeah, he looked real comfortable there. He had a really good game. We'll go to you first, Si. Your Broncos pipped by the Roosters at home. Thought you guys had this, mate. You guys looked okay at the
Spurs. Pipped? We got Casali.
By the end.
I thought it was a real entertaining game, the first 40 minutes. Obviously,
The whole thing was entertainment.
Suffered by the Broncos really hurt them. With the late tries, the score blew up. But I thought we were still in the game. You know, obviously, Renner was the big out. He's going to be 12 weeks now with a ruptured bicep. But there was a period there where we scored not long after he went off. And we saw Walsh come up and work that left-hand side. And Ezra set up. He scored a try. But then Ezra got down. Taken off for MIA, HIA. And that was the game, man. We let in another try, and that was it. And I think by then the bench was depleted because we had the whole team. We had Piakuta playing out in the centers, and it was just no excuses. Roosters were on. But even when we lost Reynolds, I could see we're still holding on to faith. It was only about 6 points and then the start of that second half. But then once we lost Mann, There was really no direction there in the team. And Walsh was a bit, showed his, probably had his worst game. Just real fucking impatient. And it's the troubling thing about us is that we should be down further with the amount of tackling we've had to do. We're the most error-ridden team. But we've done well in the games that we've won to defend those errors. But we can't be giving top four teams that much ball away. Losing Reynolds is probably a good training. Well, not training, it's real games we're dealing with here. But good experiences for these guys like Mam, Walsh, Haas, Kerrigan to really stand up. And this is your team. This is the new generation. How are you guys gonna play without Reno? We're having that our statesman in there. So they've got a good draw where they've got a couple of buys coming up, and that's 10, 12 games, because they're saying 12 normally, but he could make it in 10. So let's just say 12 games, two buys, and there's about four or five games against bottom eight teams. So if they get half of those wins, if they can get six wins, well, they already got three, right? And you get another four or five wins, then that's enough to just keep them in maybe not the four, but in the eight. With Reno coming in just before final, so have no fear, Bronx fans. Disappointing so far, but we haven't even played our best football, and we've strung together a handful of wins to keep us in the hunt. So I ain't worried. Give me another couple of weeks,
then you'll be worried. We'll
see the performance, how they go about Reno. We can't win lose too many games. It's so easy to get in a hole like the one that the Wars are in right
Stace,
now.
Stace, 12 weeks without Reynolds, are you putting a line through the Broncos, mate?
I don't know if I'm putting a line through them. But I did. That was one thing that I took out of that game. Wow. Is sort of just how reliant the Broncos are on Reynolds. And they got superstars galore, but Reynolds is the guy that pulls the strings and plugs everyone in and brings everyone together. So, yeah, as soon as he went off, similar to what Simon mentioned, that's when I thought that they couldn't win without him. So I thought the Roosters were pretty much home and hosed until he went out. So hopefully, I know that those bicep tears can be pretty full on. I think Fogarty's got one as well. Hopefully it is a 12-weeker, because I know that there's the potential for them to be quite long. And hopefully the Broncos can continue to get a couple more wins.
Wow, you're not a full money, mate.
No. I was just saying on the history of... of bicep tears, we've seen them being career, not career ending, but season ending injuries. And Fogarty's, his is
hard rehab, man. Every single pass is a lot of stress.
It's 2024, bro. Science these days doing amazing things. He could be out in fucking 8 weeks.
Well, that would be amazing. I'd be surprised.
Chamber.
A lot of reliance there. I'm just being a hater. But yeah, no, I think they've shown enough throughout the season, when they've been without their guns, and the Roosters, you know, they've had some form lately. So yeah, no, I think the Broncos will be there. I think they've done enough with some of the other players to carry them through, especially with those weaker teams. And yeah, probably a good ending from the Roosters more than anything. Doggies, both me and Bobby got this right last week. Fairly close one. I don't know. How do you see both of these teams tracking? This was kind of an even, like, you know, both of these guys really underperformed last year. So both of them kind of doing a bit better, and Doggies obviously doing a little better than the Tigers. How do you see them continuing? Stace, you impressed by the Doggies yet?
I am actually.
Webster flip now this season.
Yeah, I am impressed with the Dogs, actually. I think you could make an argument there, potentially the most improved team from last year. And, you know, maybe it was just Serraldo's, his ideas and his philosophies took a bit more time to embed into the team. So, yeah, I've been impressed with them. That left edge in particular that they've got there with Burden and Kikau and Bronson Cherry's looking, he's really slotted in well on that side after a few years out. So, and obviously Adokar, who's a gun. So, They've been really good. They know their game and they're very left side dominant, but it's working for them. So as long as they carry on, they might be we might do some revisiting of our top eights in a few more episodes, but the Dogs might come back into their calculations mm-hmm. when we get those calculators out.
You happy with Taff back at the back there, though? Or would you prefer Crichton to get a bit more time at fullback?
Yeah, I've always said for Crichton to play at fullback for the Doggies. Doesn't look like they're quite sold on the idea, but just imagine him being more involved, just returning the ball. I think there'll be a lot. Maybe we haven't really seen it, but I think he's got it in his game, ball-playing type fullback role, which they all need to the skill set they have. But, I didn't watch the game, but you posed that question, which one of these two, how they're travelling and that. And I had them both in a group, Smokies, that can do the old whatleanga mea, upset wins. But not only that, have the potential to just break into the eight. And I think I'd say Doggies are well into that region. They're solidified there in the eight, I think seventh or eighth position, but just playing tough. So, you know, just really asking teams to play their best football against them if you want to beat us. And but without having that, you know, they got Cherry, get him more involved. Boston Cherry, Crip Man's playing really well. They got good movement, ball movement in that team. But especially with did you see the performance of I think it was a couple of weeks ago, Kikau. Like even Kikau still hasn't played his best football for those guys. So yeah, bro, I called them a couple of weeks ago as a smoky. I think they can stay in there. Tigers, they did reach the heights at the start, but I don't know, I can't really see them. It's a bit of a log jam. They're probably looking at 10 to 11, 12 teams that can rightly still make it in there. Even the Warriors, you know, it's not too many points separating 8th, 14th. Doesn't take much to go on a run, but yeah, bro, Dog is definitely a potential to I'll even pick it. Yeah, have to like find another 7 places for the rest of the teams, but the Doggies, man, I'll call it from me. I didn't call it the start of the season, but yeah, they may be able to sneak in there come September, bro.
All right, Titan Storm, Bobby called this one. He said a storm and a close one. Titans were due. They got up over the Warriors on Anzac. Highly disappointed at that. And the Dragons the week before. And so I kind of thought, you know, are the Titans really turning a corner? Or was that just the Warriors look poor? So it's good to see them kind of put in a lot of effort here against the Storm. Fifita, we talked earlier, you know, he's been looking real good. Anything from either of you out of this game? The Storm seem to be doing what the Storm do. Just building a season, knowing what they need to do.
Oh, that was the game of the round. For me, I saw the replay of it, but fuck, what a game. Titans, for one win out of the last four games, but the last four games have all been really good performances, and this is similar to the game they had a couple of weeks ago, I think it was to the Raiders, when they won, or they lost to a team. Yeah, they lost to a team in the field goal. But, they're just carrying on from last week. The performance against the Warriors, another good performance. Storm just managed to squeeze in. It come down to the kicks, really. It was a controversial moment there. I don't think we can board it up, because there's enough stuff to bag the refs about. But they called one of the last plays, bro. They called a strip in a two-man tackle, because they reviewed it, and I was like, this guy was going for a tackle. His eyes were nowhere near the ball. It was just an obvious accidental, not strip. Mm. You know when you go for a tackle.
But especially the comment, the bunker was so confident in that call. Jojo Fifita deliberately. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Deliberately, like that. Yeah, every day of the week, that's how guys are tackling.
What the fuck are you watching, man? Are you serious? Yeah. And Fring was funny in the press conference, was talking about that, being real sarcastic to Adjuna or Dizzy. But, bro, Titans are a good trajectory, bro, on the way up. They've still got Campbell, Preston Campbell's son. I always forget his name. I remember his dad.
Jaden,
to come back. I was surprised they should have kept Brimo at fullback. I mean, he's way better.
Against the Warriors and even last week, that's... Yeah, I mean, Stacey, you convinced Brimson's a fullback?
I am. To me, it's sort of no coincidence that they've found a bit of form once Brimson's gone back there. Even though, you know, Campbell is a first-grade fullback, I think, you know, Brimson's played Origin for Queensland, so that shows you the level that he's operating at when he's in that position. And just hanging around the ruck.
I like how you acknowledge that elite level of being a Queenslander makes it obvious.
Well, he wouldn't get a New South Wales B team or the C team, but, you know, from your side, he's actually not too bad. But, you know, yeah, I like that how much better they look, how much more direct that the Titans play when Brimson's at fullback. So he straightens their attack a lot better, and they're better for it when you consider who they've got there with the hard-running guys. So I just think stylistically, they're better with Brimson at the back. So it's going to be interesting when Campbell comes back, because he's got to be in that team somewhere. He's the genuine first grader, so where they fit them both in is where it might get a bit murky. But yeah, I'm with Sai. That was a good performance from the Titans. We talked about Souths, how they're coming last, and they deserve to be last. The Titans second to last, and they, you know, if they could have snatched a couple more wins, like, they're a better side than where they're sitting on the table. And there seems like a massive gap between last and second to last from what I'm seeing from between the Titans and the Rabbitohs. Sorry for the Rabbitohs listeners who are thinking, why are you bagging my team again? Yeah.
But I mean, Bob made the same point. Like, the Warriors last week against the Titans, looked like a team who didn't want to be on the bottom. The Rabbits, you know, like, just their performances look like a team who, like, not fuss, like, well, oh well, we're not gonna win. Like, I guess that's the difference. The Titans are a team like, we just don't want to come last, whereas the Rabbits look like a team like, well, we're not gonna win, so we don't care.
If yeah, we're not first, we're last.
It's just a real different kind of approach to the game, where the Titans like, well, we've been cellar dwellers for so long, like, let's just focus on not being last. And it's, yeah, just that attitude of really trying. May not be first, but yeah, you're in the comp to actually play every week.
Our Rabbitohs listeners have just switched us off. They're like, fucking stop bagging our team. We're talking about the Titans and Storm. Nah, hang on.
All right, the Dolphins. The Dolphins surprisingly getting up. So many outs from the Dolphins that it's, yeah, just as much as frustration as Todd Payton had in his press conference. I think a lot of fans of the Cowboys would be the same. I'll come to you first, Sai. The Neff's still looking good in a Cowboys outfit that many can't figure out.
Thomas McGregor, second game back off the bench. Not a bad performance, man. Like, we mentioned it before, Dolphins are traveling really well. They make teams really fucking knuckle down and grind with us if you want to win. And saying that, it was a very open game, bro. Very entertaining. Dolphins, bro, there's another one, bro. That's another thing you got to rethink. Tons, they're definitely not going to be getting the spoon, but solid. Do you make room for them in the eight? Like I said, they're not playing too bad without
fucking... They were my wooden spooners.
I know. That's why I mentioned it.
We're not going to let you forget it, mate.
Like, are you seriously looking at them? Are you looking at them as an eight?
Close, if not in it. Man.
Like, if I'm willing to say Doggy's going to make the eight, could possibly make the eight, then you have to say Dolphins, because they're similar kind of squad. Not too many stars. Good experience there in some positions, but, like, both teams wouldn't really say would be automatics. But now I want to touch on the Cowboys, bro. I'm not so pissed off at the performance, because, like I said, they put themselves in winning positions. but they're still similar to Broncos. They still got a few errors in them and like just not willing to defend them. When they got the ball going, bro, and they get quick play the balls, fucking dead in Drinkwater. These one of the best finishers in the game, best backline in the game. Once they get a roll on, but I keep picking them, and I still feel like they're not traveling too bad. They're not winning games, but like I said, the performance in the last couple of weeks is kind of a big plus, and great to see Neff. Only about 15, like barely 20 minutes, but 50 meters. But just got an offload game going. Really providing a bit of change and momentum in the game because it's a big body. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a hard one. So on paper, the Cowboys definitely are a top 8 team, but just not getting those wins together. And can't be on this trajectory for too long, man. Because, like I said, it's a logjam at the table. Other teams are surpassing them.
Yeah, I like their style of play and the roster they got. Like, I don't know, Stace. Like, where do you put the Cowboys? I guess we'll get into the Warriors next, but like, it's almost like a mirror of what I'm seeing. Kind of, even like Peyton's had the Warriors before, but it's kind of that they've got not the best roster. Like, clearly not a roster like the Rabbits, but a roster that can do stuff, and we've seen them do it. So what's going on?
Yeah, it's a tough one, eh? Like, they score, just looking at the score, 26-28. If you score 26 points, that should be enough to win you a game. So I think, I mentioned, they've got some pretty defensive issues there, some defensive frailties. So I'm just having a look at their draw now. They've only held one team to less than 20 points, which was the Dolphins way back in round one when they scored 18 against them. But if you're conceding a whole heap of points and your defense is where it's at, then, you know, it's going to be a long haul. It feels like they've got that mentality where, oh, if you score 30, we'll score 32, 34, yeah. And just heavily reliant on their attack. And that's not really conducive to winning a lot of games. I'm just having a look at the table now. They've got the second worst defense for points against. Shucks. So that's where their problems lie, really. And I had the Cowboys in the top eight, but when we did our season preview, but if they don't get their defense sorted, they might slip out of it. So some work on there for Peyton for sure.
Nice, boys.